Okay, well, we were sending contour, and they come in and told us that we had to go in and pick up some U.S. packs at Dock 02. So we went out to the bird crank, started flying up there, and we ran into some heavy overcast, so we started low-leveling along the road.
Well, I'm kind of trying to talk into it because there's a lot of noise.
No. Well, on the way up there, when we was low-leveling over the road, took some mortar rounds or something alongside of us. We kept on going. We made radio contact with them in Dock 02. And I remember telling them how to tell them. I remember them telling us how to come in, but I don't remember them telling us anything about having to, which direction to come out of. I remember them telling us to come in from the south. We went over the compound, crossed the river to the west, circled over the jungle there, started taking small arms far, and Gunner said we took a hit on the skid on his side. I looked back, and I thought I saw where we took a couple hits in the tail boom. And pilot radioed in, told him that we were taking heavy small arms far. We went in and sat down in the inner pad. While we were picking up the six U.S. PACS advisors, had two rounds incoming, hit right next to POL. I told the pilot, he asked if we were up, and I looked and we had all six packs, so we took off. He come up fast and hot, and banked to left and headed out towards the west. Instead of staying low where hopefully maybe all we would have took was small arms fire, he popped up high, he just sucked the cyclic up under his armpit, and we were up to, I guess we started taking 51 hits about 400 or 500 feet up in the air, and I spotted two 51s that were firing at us. One I know for sure was a 51. It was mounted on either a hand carriage stand or a vehicle stand or something, but I saw it by the trees. It was definitely a mounted heavy machine gun. And the aircraft started taking hits in various places. Took some hits on my side, and we started losing power, and I looked back, and there was oil all over, running on the engine deck, and all over the tail boom, and some had gotten on the engine exhaust pipe and was smoking. And we started going down. That's all the pilot said. All the pilot didn't get out of Mayday or anything. He just said, we're going down. And the last thing I remember is just grabbing hold of the barber pole, and I had the barber pole in one hand and the 60 in the other. When I come to, I guess I was about 25 feet from the aircraft. And the aircraft was burning, and they just started getting secondaries. Everybody was out except for the aircraft commander, Lieutenant Hunsinger. He was still in the seat. He was burned.
How did they get out?
Themselves,
or did somebody help them?
Well, I imagine most of them were slung out. All I can say is the ones that told me that Lee drug them out, I have to believe him because I was unconscious at the time. I didn't wake up until the aircraft was vacant when I woke up. There was no one in it except for Lieutenant Hunsinger, and he was dead.
Do you remember the enemy shooting at you while you were on the ground?
I remember when I got up and took my helmet off, and I tried to walk, and I couldn't. I had to crawl for a while. I jumped up, and I remember something ricocheting by me. I didn't pay no attention. All I wanted to do was just get out of there and find somebody to be with. I threw my chicken plate off, and I started down the river. I was going to try and make it to Dock 02. About that time, I looked over my right. I saw some movement, and I saw the gunner, Lee. I saw his head bobbing up and down in the elephant grass. So I cut across the corner of the riverbank and up through the grass. Well, Lee told me that he said the aircraft was on the ground a good 5 minutes before it started burning. And I was on the ground when I come to. I was laying on my face, and that's why my face is all messed up. My eyes and everything. And so he said it was on the ground a good 5 minutes before it started burning. And when I come to, there was nobody around the aircraft except me and the pilot that was burning up an aircraft. And the aircraft was about half burned down, so I guess I was unconscious for about 7 minutes. I found Lee in an elephant grass, and he had all the packs there that were still alive. And he told me that Hunsinger didn't make it. And I told him I knew. I saw him in the aircraft.
Do you remember how many other passengers you saw? You said he had all of them.
I saw Captain Keller, Doc at Spec 4 Medic. I saw Major Warmath. And Sergeant Ward, and at the time, I didn't know where any of the others were, because everything happened so fast, I just don't remember seeing no bodies laying around.
Go ahead,
and then we laid there, and everything just kept getting heavier and heavier, and I don't remember where I fell asleep or what, but next thing I knew, it was raining, or it was dark. Now, I think it rained that night. I'm not too sure. About the first three or four nights, it's really bad for me because I was out of my head. I was dreaming, and everybody that was there, I was just constantly dreaming and kicking and trying to walk around in my sleep and just making it hard on everybody else. And well, everybody, like on the first day, everybody was just laying around, moaning from their pains, and Lee was trying to get around everybody and find out who all was still alive and how bad the ones that were still alive were hurting. And he said there were some bodies laying down by the river, and I never saw no bodies when I come through there. I was just trying to find somebody that I knew to get with, because I still didn't know what was going on. And, Sergeant Ward was laying across from me up against the sandbank. And he was in pretty bad shape, looked like. His eyes is all blacked up just like mine. Face all puffed up. Looked like he was in pretty bad shape.
Was he able to help anybody, or was he in too bad a shape to help anybody?
First couple days, there was nobody able to help anybody, only Lee.
Okay. How about Major Warman? What was his condition at the time?
His condition was the same condition it had been all along. His leg was broken pretty bad, and he couldn't be moved. We just tried to move him just as little as possible because he was hurt so bad. Because he just, like, the very last day when we left, when they loaded him up on the stretcher, he almost passed out from pain. And,
about the medic, what was he doing at the time?
Well, the medic, Doc, he was trying to help Lee. He was trying to tell Lee how to take care of the people. Because Doc, he was shot up. His buttocks were shot up pretty bad, and he was pretty badly wounded. And he was trying to instruct Lee on how to bandage the people and what bandages to use and what bandages not to use. And then the second day is pretty much the same way. Lee went down and got water for us at the river after he found an ammo can. And come back, and Major had Lee go around to Captain Keller and get his C rations, get Sergeant Ward's C rations, and they combined all the C rations that they had with them at the time. And we would just ration those for the first few days. And we sit there and we try to just give everybody an equal portion and a fair share so everybody just stands as much chance of living as everybody else. And finally, when we exhausted those sea rations, Major Warmath remembered that the bodies down by the river should have some. And Lee went down there once, and he said the smell of the bodies is too bad he couldn't get to them. So he said he'd try later that evening, and that was the same evening, I believe that was the fourth day, the same evening that we found the Arvin, because the Arvin come into our camp, he had a small bag of rice and a can of turkey, bone turkey. And he shared it with us. And we helped patch him up. He had some small shrapnel wounds in his chest, and he had looked like an AK round just through his side just a little bit. And he went down there with Lee to get the rations. And the first couple of days, Lee kept asking him if the Arvin would go with him to Khantoum or Doc Mode. First they wanted to go to Doc Mode and try and get help. And at first he said he wasn't going to go. He says, Buku VC. And then they tried to get him to go to Khantoum and he said he'd go. But he never went. Every time he asked him about it, he wouldn't go. He said, there's too many VC. So, finally about the fifth day, everybody was still hanging in. I don't remember whether Doc died on the fourth day or the fifth day, but when he was really in sorry shape. His legs were all messed up, and he told Lee to take his pants off, so Lee took his pants off. First he cut one of the legs off, and that didn't do no good, so he told him to take his pants off, so he took his pants off. And he was still squirming around, constantly hollering for somebody to move his legs here and there, and just constantly just wouldn't be quiet at all, period. And finally, then he kept begging somebody to shoot him. He wanted Lee to take him down to the river or else just shoot him. And everybody just told him, we're not going to do it. You're just going to have to lay there and just do the best you can until we get help. So he started crawling towards the river, and he passed out before he got to the river. And Lee went to try and help him. Lee said his heart had stopped, and Sergeant Ward told him to one of those injections in the first aid kit to give him to get his heart beating again. He was supposed to speed up his heart or something. And Lee hurried up and gave it to him, and it didn't do no good. I guess waited too long to give him an injection, or else it didn't get to him in time. And Lee buried him either that night or that morning, I don't remember. And the nights by this time, I can't remember much what goes on at nights, because seems like the further along we went, the wilder my dreams were. I was having dreams where LERP teams were coming in and getting us, and loaches were flying in and picking us up at night and everything. I was having some real weird dreams. And that sixth night, the same thing was going on. Now, Arvin was still there. He was helping us find food and everything. Showed us some greens that we could pick, and we could either eat them raw or we could boil them in a steel pot and eat them. And he found us some berries, and everybody by this time is getting where they can move around a little bit and help each other a little bit more. And by the seventh day, I was up around on my feet pretty good, and so was Captain Keller, and Sergeant Ward was getting around pretty good by that time. I was still stumbling around, falling every now and then, but I could still walk. I passed out, I think it was on the seventh day. I stood up too fast or something. Passed out over in the sand. Captain Keller threw some water on me and got me awake. Drug me back to shade. And then about the 8th day, we're all getting along. We're spirits in real good shape. We're all trying to keep each other's spirits up, you know, because we knew we had to stick together, because that's the only way we knew we were going to make it, if everybody just stuck together. So we were all hanging in there and joking with everybody and just carrying on, trying to keep our mind off everything that looked bad at the time. And Lee was still going and getting water every morning and still waiting on all of us like a nurse or something, still moving our feet here or helping us keep the sun out of our eyes by moving our shelter there and all this. And it, we were really a pain in the ass to him. But about the 9th day, we were making plans for Lee and Captain Keller to try and get out and get his food. And I believe they left on the 10th day. They left about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I didn't know whether we'd ever see him again, but thank God we did. They got through. They got a message out and saved us all. And then the 11th day, there was only 3 of us there. Me, Sergeant Ward, Major Warmoth, and the Arvin. And we were still hanging on, still eating greens. And it seemed like the Arvin kept getting lazier and lazier and didn't want to do nothing. And he almost had to beat the Arvin to get him to go hunt food with you. He just wanted to lay around. It seemed like after Lee left, the Arvin didn't want to do nothing. He just, you know, go away, mister, you're bugging me. And we were still getting plenty of water. Sergeant Ward was going down carrying water back for us with a steel pot. And me and Arvin went and got some berries. He was getting grains. And about the 12th day, things were pretty well the same way it was before. Just the 4 of us there, the Arvin, 3 U.S.'s. Same routine, got up that morning, stumbled around, got feeling better and complaining about her aches and pains. Went to the river and got some water before it got too hot. Went and found some greens and cooked them and some berries and ate them. Laid around out in the shade, trying to keep from sweating so much. And then, on the very last day we were there, the 13th, I remember pretty good. We got up, and Arvin was still there. First thing he did was pack up his mosquito net. He watered it all up nice and tight and took some old bandages and tied it up in a little neat bundle, stuck in his pocket. He had a Nomex shirt he wore like a jacket, and he had his jacket on, had his hat all pulled down. One minute he was there, and the next he wasn't. This was about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and we never saw him again, period. And we were just getting ready to eat. Sergeant Ward just went to get some greens, and there was a FACT aircraft flying around us up above us. And Major Warmoth said that he wanted, from now on, either me or the E6, when there was a aircraft up there, to be out there trying to get their attention. So I went out there with a green handkerchief and started waving. And then about that time, I saw 3 snakes coming over the horizon. Okay, I saw these snakes coming, and I've been flying for quite a while and usually know how hunter and killer teams work. And usually I fly with load snake, load snake, load snake. And I figured they had loaches coming in with them too, but I didn't see them. All I saw was the snakes. And I started looking around, and about that time I heard some loaches coming up the river valley. And about that time I looked back to where we were, kind of had our area operation set up. And Sergeant Ward was just coming to the jungle grass with his greens. I told him, I said, "Good God, Pop Smoke, there's loaches coming." And these loaches, they just come full speed, just buzzing, whipping around. I was so happy, I was waving my good arm, my bad arm, and trying to laugh and cry at the same time. And, it was glorious. There were, looked like the whole sky was just covered with snakes and slicks. And the loaches kept buzzing around the AO trying to draw fire. And they checked out the whole AO for about five, maybe 6 minutes. And then they popped the either Willie Peter or white smoke, because when it hit, it sparkled on the way down. And then when it hit, it just scattered, and that was it. It didn't smoke or nothing. I assumed it was Willie Pete. And that was for the first slick that brought in the four riflemen. They come in, hovered down by a wreckage, and riflemen jumped off with a stretcher. By this time, me and Sergeant Ward had already had all the cargo doors and we was using for shelter torn down so they wouldn't blow around and hit anybody and hurt them. And we had the top cargo door off the top of Major Warmath so we could get him out. I didn't know they had a stretcher. We were going to use a 18-inch jump drawer to put him on, to load him on the aircraft. And they showed up with a stretcher. And they helped us get him on. And Major Warmath almost passed out when he tried to put him on the stretcher. He was in so much pain. And they were trying to be as gentle as they could and hurry up as much as they could because they didn't know what to expect, and neither did we, because this was the first time an attempt had been made to get us out. We had never heard any shots in that area or any voices or any sign of VC or NVA for about the last 4 or 5 days, but we didn't know with all this aircraft buzz around here for so long if they wouldn't start popping up all of a sudden. The riflemen were trying to hurry, and we was trying to hurry and was trying to pick up their weapons, the two that were carrying Major Warmath. I was carrying one of their weapons, and Sergeant Ward was carrying one of their weapons. And we tried to keep up with them and almost fell once in the gravel and everything. That's all I would have needed was a fall and get messed up and then have them to have come back and get me. But we made it to the second aircraft, one of the riflemen popped smoke, and the second slick come in and sit down about 20 yards from where the first one sat down on a little sandbar. And we went up, and the pilots waved to us. We got in, the gunner helped him load up the people on his side, the crew chief helped me on my side. We all got in, got buttoned up, pilot lifted up, headed north, and then did a 180 and headed right back out south, just treetop level, just fast as it could go. And we just kept going like that. Seemed till we got way past, clear down past Dr. O2, he's at treetop level, and then all of a sudden he popped up. And on the way back, you could look over and see Dr. O2, and it was nothing, just a big black spot. I never bothered to look at Tan Cam, but Dr. O2 is really messed up to the max. And they bring us back here and fix us all up. We got to call our folks, and that's about it. Okay, the only contact I remember us having with the enemy the whole 13 days was the first day right after the crash. I remember trying to get up, and I remember seeing muzzle flashes. and hearing bullets whiz by us. And after I found Lee, when I found Lee, he was shooting a chunker. He was firing 79 towards the ridge line. I don't know what he was shooting at. I guess he was firing at the muzzle flashes I saw. He fired maybe 3-4 rounds. I don't know how many. And if he was shooting where those were, I saw the muzzle flashes. He was putting them right in there on them. And that first night, first day, we just stuff just whizzing by overhead. That's the only contact I ever remember us having.